told that this very book, the Gospel of John, has been written for us who will never see Jesus in the flesh. It has been written so that we too might come to know the deeds of Jesus and believe in him, and through belief in him, have life through his name. Although this story of Doubting Thomas is very famous, and the phrase Doubting Thomas has made it into the colloquial sayings of our culture, for one who does not believe without seeing, there is so much more going on in the story that we read for today. John has added in many little details about us, the church, as disciples of Jesus, and how we are to relate to the risen Lord and to one another. Our gospel reading today begins with the disciples living in fear. The disciples have gathered on the evening of the first day of the week, we are told. They gather on Sunday night, and they are in a locked house because they are scared that the religious authorities are going to come after them. Jesus comes to them and he says, "Peace be with you." He says this phrase to them again and again, trying to lessen their fear and exhort them to do his work here on earth. We might pass over that phrase, but in other parts of the world, as we can see by turning on the news, that means something to Christians who do not worship in safety. It reminds us of the story, though, when Jesus is in the boat with his disciples crossing the sea, and a storm arises, but Jesus comes to them, and he says, "Peace, be still." Jesus is the one that has the authority, and Jesus is the one who brings peace to his disciples, to his church, in the midst of fear. And this day we should pray for churches around the world. Throughout the Gospel of John, though, Jesus makes many appearances to his disciples in his bodily form, and he always appears to them when they are gathered together, and on a Sunday. Here we are told that Jesus comes to them on the first day of the week when they are gathered together, and when he goes and to see Thomas, he goes exactly a week later, on a Sunday, when all the disciples are gathered together. This is not an insignificant detail that John has added into his gospel that should be overlooked. Jesus always appears to his disciples in bodily form on a Sunday when they are gathered together. I said this section of the gospel has a lot to do with how we, as the church of disciples of Jesus, relate to him and to one another. And this is a major part of this. John is trying to tell us something. First, we are the disciples, we are the church, and we are called to gather together. And although this has changed for a variety of reasons, Sunday is the day that we as the church are called to gather together. And when we gather together as the church, we will meet Christ. Christ is here with us when we gather as the disciples of Jesus, when we gather as the church. And not only is Christ present with us when we gather in some spiritual way or some otherworldly way, he is here with us in bodily form when we take the bread and wine. Jesus says in the scriptures of the bread, "This is my body," and he says of the cup, "This is my blood." When we as the church gather together, we gather together to have an encounter with the risen Lord, with the bodily Jesus, and we do that through taking the bread and the wine in the Eucharist on a Sunday. Jesus then shows him the wounds that he received at the crucifixion, the disciples, that is. Again, this action is twofold. He shows them the wounds in order that they see that he has really risen from the dead. His whole body has raised from the dead in the flesh, and he is alive. He is not some kind of ghost or spirit. He is really there with them, like you or I are here with each other. But again, he shows them his wounds to show them something about them, to show them something about the church. We are Christ's body here on earth, and we will be beaten and bruised by the world, just as Jesus was beaten and bruised by the world. Jesus shows his disciples his wounds, and he says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Jesus shows the disciples his hands, his side, his feet, and he tells them to go forward in his mission. We as the church continue that mission of Jesus by being the body of Jesus Christ here on earth. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to do the work that he did while he was here on earth. But Jesus' body is not perfect. We are not perfect. It is bruised, it is marred, it is broken. It has holes in it. And Jesus is telling us, the church, that we can expect to suffer the same fate and have the same body that he has, a broken body, if we are fulfilling his mission correctly. Jesus, while sending his disciples on to them, he breathes on them, and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." says if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, then they are retained. Jesus breathing on them recalls our minds to God the Father putting breath into us at the very creation when he molded us out of clay. It also tells us something about Jesus. Jesus is God. He is not merely a man. He has the same power and the same authority as God the Father. Jesus is breathing on his disciples. He is breathing on them anew because they are the church. They are a new creation that the Holy Spirit will undertake and form them into something new to do his mission here on earth. We are called to be his hands and his feet. We take care of others. We forgive sins. We do the work of Christ. Through our baptism, we are called to that same mission still today that Christ gave to his disciples as they gathered together and encountered him. Excuse me a moment. We are called to that mission, and we do not undertake it lightly or with fear. Rather, we are called to take it in confidence. We are called to go out into the world beyond this place and to preach the risen Jesus. We are called to take care of the poor, the orphan, the widow, the prisoner, the naked. We are called to be like Jesus. We are to be his body here on earth. And it is a hard task. It is a hard mission. But again, we take this with confidence. We take this mission with confidence for two reasons. First, we have the confidence to undertake this mission because we have the Holy Spirit, who will guide and direct and intercede for us to the Father. But we also have the confidence and ability to live out this mission of being Christ's body in the world because we gather. We gather week after week with each other and with the risen Christ, and we encounter the risen Christ just as disciples have been doing for 2,000 years. We gather week after week, and Christ comes to us in the Eucharist, and we are enabled and encouraged to undertake that mission that he has called us to. There is one more detail, though, in the story of doubting Thomas that we should not pass by. Jesus comes to Thomas because he is not with the disciples when they first see Jesus and are commissioned to do his work and to be his hands and feet. So Jesus comes to Thomas to show him that he has indeed been raised from the dead. Jesus comes to Thomas, and Thomas has an individual encounter with him so that he knows the truth of the resurrection. What a gift Jesus gave to Thomas. We often put Thomas in the bottom rung, but Thomas had a gift. He came to him so that he may believe like the others. Today in our sermon, we've talked about the importance of Christians meeting together, the importance of the Eucharist, the importance of living the Christian life together as the church, to name a few. These are all places where the risen Christ comes to us again and again as a community and as individuals to show us the truth, to show us the resurrection. Jesus comes to us to show us his hands and his side again and again because he loves us and he wants us not to doubt, but come to believe. So come to the altar, gather together with Christ, and together we will leave this place, taking him out into our world, encouraged and enabled to do his work, to be the church, to be his body here on earth. People, though, will not see him out there in the flesh, as his disciples did, as Thomas did, as we did, but they will see us, his body, at work. They will see all that we have all encountered the risen Jesus by what we say and by what we do. And it should be our